Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time is 8:17. And can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you well now. That's much better.
Yeah, that really, really is indeed. So that is great. Okay, so you were telling us you've always been a storyteller, and you started writing this book around about 2 years ago.
Yes. So it was precipitated by the fact that I've worked at Linksfield for many years, and then I decided to make some changes and took a very good opportunity that presented itself much closer to where I live. And so I missed all my people at Linksfield, my family, you know.
Right.
And for my year of exile, I missed them so much that I had to write about them all, which I did.
Incredible.
To keep them close.
But you do so with such tremendous... It's such a mixture of humor as well as tragedy, because that is really what I found about the book is you find yourself laughing out loud at some of the stories. And I really actually don't want particularly to tell our listeners about it, because I want them to read the book. It's an absolute delight, and it gives you such a fascinating insight from a doctor's perspective, because I find, and certainly because I'm friendly with a lot of your colleagues, what I see through them is often a tremendous selfishness on the part of the patient, which is fully understandable because they're their world is in trouble. They need help. Everything is about them. But they actually don't see beyond the doctor standing in front of them. They don't think that the doctor's got a life or that there's emotions or anything else. And they almost expect this robotic and perfect response on every occasion. But what your book does is actually show the other side of that story, which was really awesome.
Yeah, I often say no out loud voice. You know, you sometimes have to sort of almost put your own personality and your own thoughts on things kind of on hold, especially if you're trying to be professional. Interestingly enough, the hospital that I went to work at, which was also a very nice hospital, we had a fantastic team, but much younger doctors. And the one younger doctor, when I told him I was going back to Linksfield, said to me, oh, you know, I've just learned so much from you over the last year, you know, and if there's just one thing I could do like you, you know, I really would be so happy. So I was like, well, what is that that you'd like to do? He looks at me and says, I wish I could roll my eyes like you do.
Well, it is a skill, you know.
It is a skill. I was like, that's the only thing you've learned.
Okay, but do you roll your eyes with an outside voice?
Yes, no, I roll my eyes at the other doctor. I won't roll my eyes at the patient. And very occasionally I'll roll my eyes at the sister, but never at the patient.
It really is, and you're working under immense pressure, especially in the emergency room, where anything can happen at any given time.
Indeed, and if you don't have a good relationship with your colleagues, and you don't sometimes laugh about stuff, you will not survive. So you do have to keep a sense of humor. Even the sense of humor can be on the little bit on the dark side sometimes.
Well, I think that's probably another prerequisite along with rolling your eyes, is having a sense of humor that is a little bit on the dark side if you are going to have one. Was it a challenge for you in terms of telling stories with regard to the whole doctor-patient confidentiality story?
None of the patients that appear in the book are exactly as they were in reality. So I often change their gender, change their age, mix up some of the things that happen, you know, kind of make an amalgamation of two different cases. So I don't feel like I'm ever telling anybody's personal story. And certainly if it's something that doesn't have a good outcome, I make sure that nothing, you know, around the dates, around the gender, around anything like that can be matched up to any particular person's story. Because I would hate for somebody to read a book about a tragedy or something that happened in their life and recognize themselves.
Yeah, very, very, very difficult. But what I loved about it in reality was the authenticity. I know it was all the rage and everybody loved it, and I was told I had to love it, but I really didn't, was the book When Breath Becomes Air, written as well by a doctor who was unfortunately suffering a terminal illness. I didn't enjoy it at all. I know that everybody else did, so I'm quite alone in that. But I found it lacked authenticity. I found he was presenting an image of himself, even in death, which I found quite sad, that he wanted us to see. I'm not sure if you've read the book.
I have read it, actually, and it's interesting that I also had a similar kind of sense of that.
It just didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, I suppose it must be very difficult to be authentic about your own mortality. I mean, we all know Grimm's going to win in the end, you know. But we prefer not to think about the gory details, you know.
Right, right. Well, but within your book, I did find an authenticity. I found you very human. And when somebody writes from an authentic human perspective, you can relate to them and you can relate to what they're going through. But to some extent, doctors haven't been taught to be authentic because what patients often need is the professionalism, the lack of authenticity. Actually, we don't want to know that you had a fight with your partner in the morning before you came to save their lives in the ER. All they want to know is that you're going to perform perfectly. Was it a concern that you put your real self and thoughts and eye rolling into a book, but continue to practice?
I don't think so, because I think that over the years that my professional self and my personal self have become amalgamated into one person. And I think that people who know me, they just say the book, they can actually see me exactly speaking, saying things, because that's exactly as I am in my professional life and in my personal life. So it was an interesting thing for me to find a voice to write with, because I've always loved literature. My mother was an English teacher, so I've sort of faffed a lot with the words and the lines and the sort of grammatical structure and, you know, maybe making it too fancy and too many metaphors. And then I try to cut it down, and I really kind of struggle to get going with writing. And then what I decided to do was write in the present tense as my day unfolds. In other words, just put it down and then go back and edit it later. That voice, what I speak with, is the voice that people will meet when they see me in the ED, you know? And the thing is that yes, I am human, but I can tell you that I've become so grooved into my doctor personality that I don't know when the mask is on and when it's not, you know? It's not like I'm going to be a doctor now, let me put on my coat and my stethoscope and change my personality.
That's so interesting. So interesting to hear. And of course, the biggest challenge in writing is finding your own voice and finding that the real voice that you can maintain throughout. What's next? Are you going to write something else?
Yeah. So, I've sort of got into writing now. So whenever.
Yeah, it's a bit addictive, isn't it?
It is. So as the COVID second wave crashes around us and we all hunkered down, holding fast to our posts, because it's still us 9-10 months down the line, it's still the same team of exhausted doctors. On any sort of free moment, I'm on the computer writing about what this is like. And had we known what this was like, we wouldn't have been nearly as horrified at the first wave, because this is certainly much worse, you know? And it's nice to think back, you know, and if I think back even to when I qualified, HIV was really a new thing. And we were all terrified of contracting HIV. And you look back at that and it's almost laughable, you know, in the face of coronavirus. You know, it's nice to keep a record. It's nice to record where we were.
It's so interesting. Anton Marburg made the same comment to me, as had we known in the first wave what the second one would be like, we would have relaxed a lot more.
Well, yeah. And I mean, remember when we thought 21 days of lockdown was long?
Absolutely.
You know? It's good to get perspective, you know, and we may not like where we are, but we're certainly not where we were before. So I think we just have to keep, you know, keep focusing on the future and where we're going to go to.
So have you found, now that you've got into writing, have you found that you process a lot of your thoughts and emotions through the written word?
Yes, absolutely. So it is sort of cathartic, you know, to write down things. I mean, especially, you know, with sort of grim things, you know, I was writing yesterday that we had no ventilators and suddenly we had four, you know.
And not for a good reason, yeah.
No, exactly. And, you know, it's just nice to keep that record, you know, because where I was standing, who I was speaking to, that, you know, that sort of weighs heavily on your heart, and it's a milestone in the fight, and it's nice to write it down. You know, I think it's good.
It's interesting because I wonder, in fact, I was talking to one of the managers at Exclusive Books, and she said to me, when am I writing my next book? And I said, soon, but I haven't settled on where I'm going with it. And my thoughts were, I'm not sure after COVID that we're going to want to read much about COVID for a while. Later on, you know, 10 years down the line, maybe we'll want to look back and read about it. But I wonder if we will want to read about it when this is all over. Not that I think it's going to be over so quickly.
Yeah. There was a question that the publisher and I discussed sort of at length. There were two things that I was concerned about. The one was that, you know, that I think people are tired of hearing about COVID, and will they really want to write a book, read a book about it? Mm. Although the book is not all about COVID, and
no, your book certainly is not at all. In fact, I mean, it is, and of course, it's always in the wings, and it's always there, but it's about so much more than that.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think is difficult writing in any kind of emergency room setting is that you know, a lot of really traumatic and horrible things happen. And sometimes if you tell people those things or write them down, you almost like secondarily traumatize the reader or the listener. And that's something that I've always been very aware that I don't want to do. So I come home and I'm absolutely miserable about something that was really horrible that happened at work. If I come home and tell my partner that or tell my family that, I'm just taking that horrible thing and like smearing it on them. You know, that doesn't feel right to me. So I was a bit worried about that in the book. I tried not to be too sort of gruesome or too negative or traumatize the reader, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and certainly it does come across very, very well. Diana's saying, please can you repeat the name of the book? I want to buy it. I'll give you all of the details now. And Vicky Saxenberg says, good morning, Howard. And I read your book over the weekend, and I absolutely loved it. You have the most beautiful way with words and creating an atmosphere. What an achievement that is, Vicky Saxenberg. The book is it available everywhere?
Yes, it is still available. There's still copies. And I think Exclusives, all of the bookstores, it's also online, Amazon, Loot, that kind of thing.
Right. And it's called Saving a Stranger's Life by Anne Bickard. And I can tell you that I absolutely recommend that you go and buy that book, read it. It's an incredible journey and an incredible perspective into Anne's life. And thank you for taking the time to chat to us. We greatly look forward to whatever it is that you're writing next. I can tell you I'll be in first in line to read it.
Thank you.
Great pleasure indeed. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. I'd love to hear from you on 34519 or 061-895-1019. Karen says, what a heartwarming story. Had the privilege of being looked after by Dr. Bickard. I'm definitely going to get the book.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.